Welcome back, 1570 AM WNST. My next guest is Nestor Aparicio. Nestor, welcome in.
I'm leaving on a jet plane, right? I mean,
I'm jealous. Like I'm very jealous.
It's a real Raven game. Well, you know, I'm kind of wound up into this now, right? I've had Peter King on. But I've gone out to Vegas and talked to a couple people out there. I got Rob Woodson coming on this week. Amy Trask, the Princess of Darkness. We're going to talk about old Raider stuff. But I've talked to these people in the East Bay that lost their team and they're flying to Vegas. And then I've talked to JT the Brick, who, you know, moved to Vegas and the team followed him, you know, and I have no idea what I'm going to get Monday night in regard to the game, in regard to, I mean, the Raiders haven't put their offense on the field. The Ravens haven't really put their offense on the field. There's missing pieces and different ingredients. This is really where I'll get really excited when I get to the airport on Sunday night. Mask on, vaxxed up, the clear thing to get into the stadium and all that. I haven't tasted that in a while. It was like these concerts that I started to go to again. I mean, that Eagles concert was just so magnificent that, like, I'm like, that's what's special. That's what you want to do. I want to get back in a stadium with a lot of people, have the national anthem sung, have, you know, have players run out and feel and hear that for the first time all over again. So I'm excited. I really am. I haven't thought much about it. It was taken away from us last year. I don't think about pumpkin spice till the first time I taste it, right? I don't think about eggnog when I'm still eating, you know, summer crab cakes. But it's football season now, and I'm starting to, like, think about the beer and think about being 1-0 or 0-1, and then thinking about the Chiefs next week, and then that, you know, we're going to that game, and that's going to be here, and it's going to be purple, and we have none of us have been to games in a long time. So I don't know. There's some energy about this that when you've had it taken away from you, and we all had all of this taken away, there's something about going back that is getting my juices flowing, Dan.
Well, we can say that the Eagles concert was the cat's pajamas, and the same thing holds true about you going to Vegas to open up the Death Star with the Baltimore Ravens visiting, right? How cool is that? How great is that? And this is a game where all of the nation's eyes will be on it. 5:15, your kickoff time, 8:15, our kickoff time. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, 5:15. And look, this is going to be a game where Derek Carr has to win. The offensive line of the Raiders isn't good for all the flash and dash, the running backs and the receivers. But to me, it's going to come down to how Derek Carr plays. He plays well, the Raiders have a chance to pull off the upset. If he doesn't, they're going to lose and lose badly.
Well, I think the one thing that we're going to see, and we don't really see a lot of this with Lamar at the line of scrimmage. We saw more of it with Joe, specifically during the Kubiak era, where Joe was sort of manipulating things a little bit to get into plays. Because the worst thing you do is you come to the line of scrimmage, and we don't talk much about that. We don't play football like this anymore here, right? Like the last couple of years, you get to the line of scrimmage, and you're in a bad play from Cam Cameron, and you can't get out of it, and you see it's a bad play. You see it's going nowhere, and you're 29 years old. You're Joe Flacco. You're good at math. And you see six is bad on four, and we're going that way, that you move things around. Now, you know, with Lamar, it is very, very defensive the way defenses play, because you take a bad angle on Lamar, he's going to be laughing at you 4.8 seconds later, holding the ball, spinning it, and you're going to have broken ankles, right? I would say, though, in the case of what's going on here with this offense, watching Derek Carr is going to be a little bit like seeing the old Peyton Manning, or maybe a little bit of the Tom Brady, but more like Manning, where they really want to manipulate defenses. That's the goal of the Raiders offense, to get Derek Carr up and to be moving into better plays. And he's at that stage in his career. Now, whether you execute that or not, the way Drew Brees has for 15 years, this is part of John Gruden and part of their analytics that we're not going to send our quarterback up to the line of scrimmage with Wink licking his chops. You know, so this is really going to be a cat and mouse game on that side of the ball that's not going to play out on the first series or the second series. This is going to go on all night until Marlon Humphrey goes up in the air and gets the ball.
Well, I'm curious to see if Derek Carr will be able to identify that Malik Harrison and Patrick Queen are not safeties or cornerbacks, right? Number 3 and 6. Hopefully he studied his film and understands where the defensive pieces are going to be, because that's one of the nuances of this year is that quarterbacks have to identify with their players after all these years of film study and knowing what players, what number. I mean, can you imagine had Ray Lewis changed from his iconic 52 to something else?
Yeah. The single digits are going to weird me out for a little while. And look, we've all watched in college football, so you get used to it. But there's part of a identification of where you are on the field, even for a fullback wearing a 30-something or a 40-something number or whatever. Even seeing, Ricard wearing defensive things, doing offensive things, even John Ogden spiking the ball in the beginning of his career. That's not a middle linebacker lining up with number 6 or wide receiver lining up with Joe Flacco's number, who's smaller than me. It's just going to be weird seeing a 5 on a guy that size, quite frankly, after all the years of quarterbacks. But, for me, with the matchups and where the Raiders really struggled at stopping the run, this is an opportunity for the Ravens to get some life on Monday night and feel good about themselves. But I don't think there's any doubt Gus Bradley's going to try to build a box around Lamar Jackson and make him try to throw the football. I'm sure that's going to be everybody's goal, is to make Lamar Jackson throw the football, because you don't want him running it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And the other big factor, Nestor, is going to be crowd noise. I don't think that Ronnie Stanley and Alejandro Villanueva will be able to hear themselves think, much less hear the signals from Lamar Jackson. So they better be prepared for a raucous crowd, a very high-energy crowd, deafening, at the Death Star in Vegas.
I would say you need to listen to the piece I did with JT the Brick earlier, because JT's lived in Vegas, has been out there. He was telling me about the design of it was designed to be loud on the field. Like, it was literally built aerodynamically to be aggressive to visiting teams. That does not shock me in the modern era. If we're all looking for an edge, whether it's playing the music too loud when your team's in the huddle, all of these places, and I think you know this, Dennis, they manipulate the video.
Sure.
When you're in the stadium, the referee's looking up, they're manipulating home video. I can't think, if you're doing all of that and you're having, the Adelsons in the state of Nevada fund something that's dystopian, even by Vegas standards, like how over the top it's going to be. Part of it would be, it probably shouldn't be a real good place for visiting teams.
No, I think not. But I think the neatest feature of this stadium, Nestor, is the real grass field, how it's a shelf, how they pull it out and pull it back in. That's one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
They were doing that in Phoenix, I think. And then,
are they really?
I don't know that it worked. I mean, I don't know that it grew well outside in Phoenix, because, like a golf course would. But then for both of us, I think on Monday night, it does represent, as we get older and we didn't have a team, and then last year we had a team, but it was a TV team. The difference between TV and in person, how much I love my seats. I'm, in the front row. I feel like I see the game so much better from my seats. I've always felt that way. That's why I went to the games, even sitting in press boxes. The one exception would be, like, I was in Washington last year, and where the press box is in the corner, you don't see that. You see the game worse. The game was better on TV in certain areas. But I think there's something about a live event, and we'll feel this next week, right, as we get ready to think about going downtown, purple lights on, full up, vaccinated, all of that. I'm sitting on 2 tickets on my app, and I'm picturing myself sitting in my seats again, and I'm thinking, like, this is special. And that was the thing about football. There were 81 baseball games, but there were only 8 football games. And the next one we play, the fever will be pitched based on how we play on Monday night. Because the Chiefs are going to be ugly no matter what next week. Like, that, it's going to be a tough game. Got to come out. You got to play well Monday night if you're the Ravens.
Got to play well. Very difficult to make the playoffs if you start the season at 0-2, even with the extra game, even with going to 17 games next year. So now we get 9 home games this year, but none more important than the very first one. They've got a gorilla on their back in the form of the Kansas City Chiefs that they have to exercise. They have to shrug it off. But first things first, they have to take care of business Monday night against the Raiders. And the team is banged up. They're banged up at wide receiver as they're searching for another running back. I mean, a lot of things are – the Raiders may be catching the Ravens at the right time.
Well, a lot of things less than ideal here offensively in regard to what we're – But that's what makes it interesting for me. And I would think the Ravens have some level of confidence in what they've done, but then Justice Hill goes down. I mean, they sit on that injury for 4.5 days before anybody in the world knows about it. Of course, the Coons Ford Tech Service, got that out. And I said to Luke, stop with those kind of texts. I'll take the ones we're giving Andrews money. I'm good with those texts. But these injury texts, I don't know that any teams had, gone from a circumstance where they felt improved, right? And I don't know that we can sit here and say they're improved in the same way that I know I talked to you a lot about this, because I thought the Stanley injury last year, the minute it happened, the minute he rolled over, I thought, oh, man. And I was in this restaurant having one of the last crab cakes in Frederick last week, and I had that moment where I thought, all right, how are they going to dust off from this? Who's going to get those carries? Where is the ball going on those plays? And I've talked to Luke a lot about this week, and we'll see if it plays out. I think Lamar becomes a 12 or 14 carry guy again, and I don't love that recipe. I didn't love it 4 years ago. I didn't love it when it was working, right? And it was working, and I think it will work again. And I think that's going to be their crutch. That's what they'll go back to on Monday night when nothing else is working. Lamar will just run the ball, and that will work. That really, it will work if Lamar runs the ball.
Well, getting out of the blocks fast is key for any team, particularly the Ravens. They haven't shown a great ability to come back on team. So I think if they score first by any means necessary, if that means Lamar carries the ball more, so be it. But they have to come out of there with a W. You got to like the way the defense has performed in the preseason. And you know Wink's going to have some things up his sleeve to confuse that newly formed Raiders offensive line.
Yeah, pass rush is another issue that remains to be seen. I mean, and they're going to need that. This is a traditional kind of offense for me with the Raiders, where there are going to be some third and longs. You're going to want to pin your ears back. You're going to want to cover your ass off, but you're going to want to get in and strip and sack and create mayhem. And Wink's going to do that from different looks in different places. If that happens, I will feel better, and I am more confident right now that the defense will play better, travel better, that the defense will be the star of the game on Monday night if they win. And that includes taking the ball away in my mind.
Well, and the words of the great Terrell Suggs, when you go on the road, you pack your defense and your running game. So that formula has been very successful for the Ravens since Lamar Jackson became the starting quarterback. And that's the formula for them to come out with a win in Vegas and also taking care of that football. They cannot turn it over.
Yeah, optimistic. I mean, are you they're a playoff team? I mean, I am until further notice. I because I believe in Eric and John and the system and what they do and the defense and the players that it isn't about one J.K. Dobbins or one Bateman or one. Well, I mean, it might be about number 8. I mean, they have built the whole thing around him. You know, I know you've been pimping Tyler Huntley, and so is Luke, but
lately I have.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay,
if you're trying to win, you got to be vaccinated. It does give teams that are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, have a distinct competitive advantage in the NFL. And you talked about teams trying to get an edge, right? There's no better edge. I mean, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tom Brady came out and said, listen, we're 100% vaccinated. That sends a message to the other team that we're all in.
Well, yeah, it makes Coons Ford better. It makes me better. It makes my house better.
The Buccaneers better. Makes the Ravens worse.
It makes, like if we all had the vaccine, the virus would be gone. That's pretty scientifically clear.
It is. And the unvaccinated players that test positive, I mean, they're out for 10 days, and the players that have the vaccine, you know what? It's a lot easier for them to come back. They're going to miss less days. So I don't know why. There's no good argument as to why they wouldn't do it.
You know what, Dennis? Let me get Polio on the phone and see how it feels about vaccines.
Right. So they're trying. Look, that's the whole thing. And I also love that you mentioned Mark Andrews. I love the timing of the signing, his 26th birthday, right before the season starts. The Ravens, once again, have shown up that, look, as an organization, if you do well, if you do the right things, if you're a leader, if you're great on the field as well as off the field, good things are going to happen to you.
Dennis Kalatsos, I appreciate you in these Thursday afternoon visits as well as Sunday morning visits. I will be up all night with Luke on Monday night. I said to my wife, get a mask, unmask. Like I can just get like a shot. JT the Brick came on our Zoom, and it looks like he's sitting at the 50-yard line. So I'm just going to screenshot a 50-yard line shot and probably sit in my hotel room because I'm – you know, I'm weirded out by the whole vaccine thing in Vegas and what they're like all of that. I'm not going out Thursday. I'm not sipping champagne by the pool. You know, I'm just, this is a business trip for me. I'm treating it like in, out, game, done, back. Let's get ready for the Chiefs. I'm doing these crab cake tours. You know, we're going to be over Costas next week with Johnny O. I'm in Highland Town that we know so well at the Chaucer this week on Friday. So come on by 2 to 5, meet Zeke Cohen, say hello to Enoch Pratt Library. Heidi Daniels is going to be there talking about the Frank Zappa statue. So I'm doing East Side, Highland Town, Dundalk. We're going to be moving the crab cake tour around. I got to be clean with COVID, right? I mean, I got plenty of mask and you know, Purell, all of that stuff. So far, so good. I want to stay clean for the football season so we can all have fun and go to games and go to concerts and see the Stones, do the fun things I want to do, you know?
Hey, looking forward to your reports from Vegas, Nestor. Appreciate your time as always.
Most important report's going to be how much the beer is. You know, JT, the person's like, you got to be under the Al Davis sphere thing. And I'm like, just tell me how much the beer is, you know, just because I'm going to buy one.
$16, I'm going to guess. I don't know. I have no idea.
$18.75.
Is that right?
That's why
I was low.
That's my over under. If it comes in at $18.50, I'm going to feel like I got a bargain.
Well, good for you. You raised your sights.
24 ounces. The tall boys. Come on.
There you go. Only way to fly. Hey, man, keep doing great things. I appreciate you.
106 degrees when I land. It better be cold.
Ain't the beer cold. There it goes. Nestor J. Hepp-Reese here at 1570 AM. WNST will take a quick break. Come back right after this.